In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this fourth and last Sunday of Advent, the gospel is just a tad bit more gentle than it has been the past 2 weeks with John the Baptizer. Today in the town of Judah, we have the coming together of two very unlikely women, two expectant mothers. They reunite, which really in and of itself isn't all that unique, is it? Especially considering that they are related. But think about this. One of them is old enough to be a great grandmother, and she's in the third trimester of her pregnancy. The other has just begun her pregnancy, and yet she is a virgin. Two unlikely mothers, to be sure. But with God, there is nothing that is impossible. Luke doesn't tell us why St. Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. But you've got to wonder what it must have been like after just hearing from this angel that you were about to conceive the Son of God, the long-expected Messiah, was to take up residence in your womb. Add to the fact that this woman, barely a woman even, she is betrothed to be married, and therefore she is supposed, assumed to be a virgin. Think about all that going on. And yet, she turns out to be with child. I guarantee you, the tongues were wagging, as they always do, with the latest gossip. And sometimes it's just kind of best to leave town for a while, just to get out, get away from it all, and take up with relatives who would at least try to understand what's going on with you. They'd at least try to hear what Mary was saying. Because if anyone was going to understand what was going on, it was Elizabeth. It was Elizabeth, a senior citizen who was well past her childbearing age, who by the power of God was 3 months away from delivering a son of her own, St. John the Forerunner. So, a pregnant virgin and a pregnant elderly woman come together in Judah. And what does that tell us? What does that tell us? It tells us that if you ever think that there's something in your life that God can't do, if there's some sin that he can't or won't forgive, some prayer that he won't answer and therefore you just shouldn't ask him, then think again. Think again. Because our God is always doing the miraculous. And he won't be molded and modeled to fit in our little box that we've made for him. We like to do that to him, but he won't be molded into that box. As soon as Mary greets Elizabeth, St. John leaps for joy in his mother's womb. John is already praising Jesus Christ. He isn't even born yet, and he's praising his Savior. So what does that tell us? It tells us a few things. So much for the idea that life in the womb is somehow less than human, or less than aware, or that the Word of God can't somehow get into the womb and reach children there. And so much for the idea also that infants, that children can't believe, and so they can't receive the gift of faith, and therefore they shouldn't be baptized. So much for that too. Because John, right here in the gospel, was doing the most fundamental action of the human race. He was praising his God. And he's doing it from the womb. John was actually preaching through his mother. She was kind of his interpreter. The scripture says that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth does something. She blesses her younger cousin, Mary. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," she says. Mary is what every single Israelite woman longed to be. The mother of the Messiah, the Christ. She is the counterpart to Eve. Where Eve gave birth to death, Mary gives birth to life. Eve's son was the crusher of only his brother's head. Mary's son, he may have had his heel bruised by Satan, but it did not stop him from crushing Satan's head with that same heel and delivering to us the victory. Mary is the epitome, the height of motherhood, and she brings a unique dignity to women, a dignity that no man can ever even come close to having. "Because my sister's one of your own bore God in her womb." That is a dignity that I will never know. What an honor. What an incredible nobility you have over men. Elizabeth calls her the mother of my Lord. The mother of my Lord, she says. "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now that sentence right there ought to give us pause, because it should shatter us and it should build us back up again and bring us to life and leave us even pregnant with a hope that does not die. This is the very essence of the Christmas mystery right here. That the Lord of the universe, the one who through whom all things came into existence, the one who opened his mouth and spoke, and there was where there was not before. That same one who by his mighty word created, that same one has a mother. By his own election has a mother. The word has become flesh and dwells among us. The infinite, almighty Son of God takes up residence in the finite borders of Mary's womb. Mary has, in a sense, become the new Ark of the Covenant, carrying in her body the new and everlasting covenant that God has made with his people. For in her womb she carries Jesus himself. The fullness of the deity has deigned to dwell among us bodily. Now, Jesus could have certainly appeared on this earth in any way that he so chose. He could have come when he was 12 or 25 or 30, right at the beginning of his ministry, as a fully grown man. God can dwell with us in any way that he chooses. But he knows how we are. He knows me. He knows how weak I am. He knows how I cast doubts over all of his works, just like we always do. We ask things like, well, if he wasn't born of a woman, does he really fully embrace humanity? If he wasn't born in the flesh of Mary, is he completely human, or does he just appear that way? Does he just look like it? Is it kind of like a bunch of divine smoke and mirrors? Is it just play acting on God's part? Is he just pretending? If Jesus did not have a human mother, we would forever doubt his humanity. We would. I know me, and you know you would too. And in doubting his humanity, guess what we do? We question whether or not he is really our substitute under the law. Did he really fulfill the law as a human? Did he accomplish it as a full human being? We'd question whether or not his death actually atones for our sins, whether he's truly the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We'd probably even doubt whether his death on the cross was a genuine one, or was it just another show? More divine acting. If Jesus had just shown up at 30 years old, he would have passed by some of the most painful and the most difficult parts of being a human being. He would have missed the trauma of childbirth. He would have missed the utter dependency of infancy, where he had to rely on his mother and on his guardian, Joseph. He would have missed all of the scrapes and the bruises, the awkwardness of adolescence, the mocking of children your own age. He would have missed it all. All of the hurt and the pain and the agony. It had to be this way for Jesus to literally be the Savior of all. His human nature embraces all of our humanity, everything about us. He knows it and takes it into himself. From the tiniest cluster of cells in a mother's womb to the dying breath of the man who lays alone in his hospital bed. Literally from the womb to the tomb, Jesus embraces the fullness of our humanity with the fullness of his divinity. Elizabeth blesses Mary for her faith, because Mary did what can sometimes be hard to do. Mary took God at his word. She put her trust in the word of God. And so also this makes Mary the picture of every believer. She hears the impossible word that everyone knows can't be true, right? That in her virginity, she will conceive and bear a son who would be the presence of God with us. Emmanuel, come to save his people from their sins. And she responds as only faith can respond to the impossible word of God. Amen, she says. Amen. Be it done unto me according to your word, O Lord. And that's how it is with us. That's how it is with us. God says to us, in my Son, Jesus Christ, you have life, you have forgiveness, you have peace, and everything that you need in the fullest measure. You will bear him even in your own bodies. And what do we say? Our faith simply says, Amen. Amen. Let it be done to me according to your word. God says to us, this baptism, this washing of regeneration with the Word and the Holy Spirit, that is your new life. That even is your salvation, your rebirth, the washing away of your sins. And faith says, and it can only be faith, faith says, Amen. Be it done unto me according to your word. Jesus says to us, you are forgiven. Your sin is as far from you as the east is from the west. Amen. According to your word, Lord, let it be. Jesus declares, this is my body. This is my blood given for you. And we say, Amen. Amen. Let it be. Saints Mary and Elizabeth, they are a perpetual proclamation to us, a constant preaching of the gospel, that with our God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is beyond him. A couple has a son in their old age. A young woman conceives in her virginity. The dead are raised. You and I, born in the mire of sin and death, stand alive as righteous and justified before our Father. Because with a God whose name is Emmanuel, who loves us so much that he would even take on our flesh and come to us, there is nothing that is impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.